Good afternoon and welcome everyone to November AAC meeting. To begin with, as you just heard, this meeting is being recorded and the meeting audio will be placed on our website at WMATA.com's Accessibility Advisory Committee page. Just to share a few helpful tips for people joining via phone calls, you can press *6 to mute or unmute yourself. If you would like to make comments, you can virtually raise or lower hands by pressing *9. Everyone on the video conference, if you click on the speaker icon, that will mute or unmute you. And if you go under reactions, click on the raise hand icon, that will virtually raise or lower hands. As you know, we two ASL interpreters with us on this meeting. Therefore, I would request everyone to please state your name before you start making comment. It helps them in doing their job. It also helps everyone on the phone call who to know who the speaker is at that time. for any presenters, I do know that we have a visual presentation. I would just remind for you to please describe your presentation in detail, and that's for the convenience of our members who, and members of the public who are blind or have low vision. Madam Chair, with your permission, I can go ahead and read today's meeting agenda.
Most certainly.
Thank you. All right, so we will, after I finish reading the meeting agenda, we will go through the roll call of AAC committee members. Afterwards, Madam Chair would go through the approval of the meeting agenda, last month's meeting minutes, and the board report. At 5:40, we have Paul Burden to give us an update about Waymap application. At 6 p.m., we have Jim Hamry to share an announcement with us. At 6:20, we would go through the election, AAC election process. At 6:45, we will discuss Metro Access service area for the upcoming Silver Line Phase 2 opening. At 6:55, we will take any public comments. At 7:10, we will have the bus and rail subcommittee report. At 7:20, we will have the Metro Access subcommittee report, and the meeting is scheduled to adjourn at 7:30 p.m. That concludes the agenda for today's meeting. At this point, I would go ahead and take attendance of the AAC members. So please confirm your presence when I call out your name. Azhar Atura. Darnese Bush.
Alert. Audio now unmuted.
Okay. I would request Alert. Everyone to stay on mute unless you're speaking. And I would take a quick moment to make sure everyone is on mute. So please bear with me. Resuming with the attendance, Darnese Bush.
Now unmuted.
Vanessa, I'm going to put you on mute, okay? Thank you. Tino Calabia.
Present.
Thank you. Vanessa Coles.
Alda. Alert. Audio now unmuted.
Present.
Thank you. Rico Dancy.
I'm here.
Thank you. Tawan Farmer. Deborah Fisher.
I'm here.
Thank you. Marcy Goldstein.
I'm here.
Thank you. Timothy Howard.
Here. Thank you.
Thank you. Steve Caffin. for the record, Steve had informed that he would be traveling and he would try to join through phone call as he can. So I'm sure if he has not joined already, he would be joining soon.
Oh, wait. Can you hear me?
Okay, so Steve has joined. Yes, can hear you now.
Yes, I'm present.
Okay, thank you, Steve. Thomas Mangra?
Sure.
I'm here.
Thank you. Philippa Mazel?
Present.
Thank you. Zandy Newsel?
Present.
Thank you. Phil Posner?
Present.
Thank you. Doris Ray?
Here today and gone voting tomorrow.
Thank you, Doris. Denise Rush?
Present.
Thank you. Paul Summerford? Patrick Sheehan?
Here.
Thank you. Kelly Simono?
Here.
Thank you. Philip Weintraub? Okay, that concludes the roll call for today's meeting. If any of the members join later, I would still be checking for their attendance and mark them present or not accordingly. At this point, Madam Chair, I would ask for you to move the meeting forward with approval of today's meeting agenda, last month's meeting minutes, and the board report. You have the floor.
Okay, welcome everybody that's attending the meeting today. I want to get approval of the first. We want to get the approval of the agenda. So can I get a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Any oppositions? Any additions to the agenda? Okay, can we vote? Everybody approve?
Yes.
Aye.
Approve.
Aye.
Thumbs.
Aye. We will conduct as it was read. Thank you. It's been approved. Has everyone read the minutes of the previous meeting?
Yes.
Can I get a motion to accept the minutes as is or with additions? Do we have any?
Move to accept. Doris, you'll do it and I'll second it.
Okay, can we vote on the approval?
Aye.
Aye.
No oppositions? It's been approved and accepted. Okay. The board meeting, it is a draft. Has everybody read it? And could I get nomination to approve the board minute?
So moved.
Can I get a second?
Second.
Can we vote? Yeas and nays?
Aye.
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 No opposition. Okay. It's been approved and accepted. And if we have any additions, we will make those additions because it's a draft on the minutes for the board.
The board report, Madam Chair?
The board report.
Okay. And we do have Paul Burden to give us an update about the WAMAP application. Paul, would you like to share your screen or would you like me to do that for you, for your presentation?
Yeah, so let me bring that up anew.
Sure.
Oops, close that.
And this is Anu. Paul, just so you know, we were looking at your keyboard at this time.
You should be looking at the screen. You cannot, my screen is not visible?
Not at this point. What we see is your keyboard.
Okay.
On your desk, yes.
Let me see. How about now? I'm having an issue here sharing. No,
would you like me to share it for you?
Yeah, please.
Sure. Give me one quick second and I'll be happy. Yes. Okay, is my screen visible to everyone?
Yes.
Perfect. So Paul, let me know when I'll move the slides accordingly.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Anu. So good evening, everyone. My name is Paul Burton. I'm with Waymap here in Washington, D.C. So my colleague, Jankar Savak, is on an airplane right now. So I'm standing in for Jankar. as such, there may be a technical question or two that I'm not able to handle, but my able-bodied colleague, David Schaefer, is also on the call, and he may be able to help me out with that. But certainly, any questions that I can't respond to, I will get back to the group at large. Okay, Anu. So what I want to do is I want to give everybody sort of an overview of where we are. I think it was the September meeting that Jankar presented to the group, sort of an overview of schedules and that kind of thing. And so we are going to begin a pilot, and that pilot is going to begin. The target date is Monday, November 28th. That is the Monday immediately following Thanksgiving. We have 10 stations that we have selected, as well as the full bus network and covering approximately 200 bus routes as well. Now, so what this pilot is going to be comprised of is to have my slide says 15. As those of you that can see, my slide says 15. We've actually bumped that up to 25 visually impaired and blind testers that we will be working with on end-to-end journeys. So from wherever they're coming from, their home, their business, wherever, to the ultimate destination, that's our goal. There'll be some, and I will get to where we need a little bit of help, but there'll be some WMATA participants as well. We want to test on both the Android and the iOS mobile device platforms. We're happy to accept any Spanish speakers. We have interpreters ready to go for Spanish speakers. And I am not clear yet as to the number of wheelchair users that are going to be involved in the test, but we will be testing wheelchair users as well. The majority of the folks that we're working with are white cane users. We do have right now three guide dog users as well that we'll be training. Okay, Anu. So what's on the screen right now is the Metro map that we're also familiar with. And what we've done is we have circled the stations that we're going to be starting out this pilot that I described a minute ago to you. And And at this point, I would like to ask for some help from the group. And here's the help that we need. So Silver Spring Station, Oklahoma, Fort Totten, West Hyattsville, these are stations that are going to be in the pilot. We need some testers from these areas. The testers that we have right now are very heavily concentrated in the Orange Line, in the Arlington area, Virginia Square, et cetera. So any help that we can get, Silver Spring, Tacoma, Fort Totten, West Hyattsville, et cetera, that would be very welcome. Okay, Anoop. So on the screen now is a list of the 10 stations and the respective lines that they're on that we are going to be starting on. So let me just rattle through them very quickly. Silver Spring on the red line, Tacoma on the red line, Fort Totten on the red, green, and yellow, Brookland Catholic University red, Rhode Island Avenue red, Noma Gallaudet red, West Hyattsville green and yellow, Hyattsville Crossing green and yellow, West Falls Church orange and silver, and East Falls Church orange. So those are the 10 stations that we are beginning our pilot with and doing the testing. Okay, yep, thanks Anu. So right now on the screen is a map of the bus stops and routes. And these are all, the important thing I think here is because this is just a map of an overview of metro stops, which are very, very highly concentrated. It's very difficult to tell one stop from another. I think the important point to make with regard to this particular slide is this, that these are WMATA stops. So the regional bus services are not included at this point in what we are going to be supporting within the WayMap app. A couple of developments to bring you up to speed on. No longer is holstering necessary for a user to use the WayMap app. Everyone may recall way back when that initially the user had to holster their phone and position it in such a way that we were able to tell exactly where that user was and how that user was moving, et cetera. That is no longer required. Door-to-door, outdoor pathfinding, as I mentioned, all of the bus stations and 200 associated routes are included. And we are going to be integrating WMATA's API into our app. And the purpose of that, well, the purpose of that is manifold, but just think about this in the following. If somebody is heading to Silver Spring stop and the escalator happens to be out for maintenance, for instance, that user is going to hear that in their ear as they're making their journey. So integrating the WMATA API is a very critical point of information for our users. Okay, Anoop. I think I may have covered most of this already, but I think the point of the slide that's up here now, which is entitled End-to-End Journeys to, Through, and From, is just that our emphasis in this pilot is to get the user from again, starting point A, if that's home, if that's a place of business, if that's somewhere else, to their destination and back. And this includes homes, businesses, well-known points of interest, et cetera. All of that is mapped. Now what's showing is, is actually a map that is a little bit... The map that is showing right now is the area in Fairfax, Montgomery County, the district, Arlington and Alexandria that we are going to go live in this pilot. And as you can see earlier on, the slide that I showed that showed all of the bus stops that are going to be included, they fall into that center category. Okay. So the area of focus. Here's what we're really trying to accomplish. These users that we're going to be working with, those users are going to be accompanied at all times. So safety obviously is the first and foremost consideration. And so we will be accompanying the users at all times. Safety's first. The second consideration is we want to sort of be looking over their over the shoulder of the user, if you will, and understand the user experience, right? The so-called UX, as it's referred to. We want to understand if people are running into problems in the same area as other people. So now we know that in this particular area of the UX, we need to get word back to our developers and said, have an issue here. Users are getting a little confused. They're not sure which way to go. This is something that we have to fix. And we're actually also stress testing the app. We don't want users to get from point A to point B necessarily. We want them to try to break what we've got, what we're offering them, so we can understand where the points of failure are and what we need to work on to make sure that we have an absolute airtight app. Okay. And so the slide that we're on right now is entitled User Support. So user support is going to come in a couple of different flavors. So first of all, the users are going to be trained on the app prior to their usage. As I mentioned, they're going to be accompanied. After we take our journey, and by the way, from the time the user arrives and we accompany them on their journey to the time we sort of get them on their way back home, that's probably going to be approximately a 3-hour period of time. And we're going to, at the end of that session, we're going to sit down with them just to get some feedback, understand what it is they like, what it is they struggled with, what it is they think we need to do to make the app more user-friendly. We're going to, during that period of time, we're going to provide telephone call support. They'll be issued a couple of numbers that they can call at any time to get support. There will be frequently asked questions that's going to be integrated into the app itself, as well as a user guide that is also going to be integrated into the app. The FAQ is going to be there during the pilot. We're still going to be working on the user guide. That's going to be a work in progress. Okay, Anup. So project timelines. The word pilot is the critical variable here that I'm discussing is this month, the 28th of this month, where we got 10 stations and the entire bus network. And then what we're calling the soft launch. And so what is meant by soft launch? The soft launch means that the app is not yet going to be publicly available on the App Store or the Google Play Store. But we're going to continue our testing and invite more and more users. We'll have 40 stations, including 3 to 5 underground stations. And again, obviously the whole WMATA bus network. In July of 2023 is the commercial launch. So we open everything up. All the overground stations and 10 underground stations will be done at that time. And then 1 year from today, in November 2023, we'll have 75 stations and the whole network. And then we're working with the regional bus services as well to get them involved. March 2024, the entire system, every metro station, all buses, and then selected regional partners will be included. Okay. So when we move to this next phase, which we're calling the soft launch, I have a list of stations that are going to be included there. Let me just make you aware of those. And these are all underground stations, by the way. Union Station on the Red Line, Judiciary Square on the Red Line, Gallery Place, red, green, and yellow. Metro Center, red, blue, orange, and silver. McPherson Square, blue, orange, and silver. Farragut North red, Farragut West, blue, orange, and silver. Foggy Bottom, blue, orange, and silver. Roslyn, blue, orange, and silver. And then finally, Lafont Plaza, green, yellow, blue, orange, and silver. Okay. So this next slide just sort of sums up each of these different efforts. The November pilot, the soft launch, and the commercial launch, and how we're going to sort of continue to evolve and add, as I mentioned, online support. The user guide will be included in the app. That's going to not be included in the pilot, but be included in the soft launch. And then different features will be incorporated as we move along. So before we go to questions, I see David's with us. David, do you have anything that you would like to add?
No, I don't have anything. I think you covered it pretty well.
Okay.
In terms of the schedule, if there's any more technical questions about kind of like how would we plan on it working or things like that, I could talk better to that.
Okay, great. So keep yourself unmuted, David, because we're going to open the floor for questions.
Okay.
This is Anu. Any of the AAC members have any questions regarding the Waymap application update? Okay, now we see two hands, Doris, Vanessa, and Pat, in that order. So go ahead and you will have 2 minutes each. Doris?
Oh, okay. I just wanted to make sure. Thank you very much for your presentation. I have two questions. One of them is, if I understood what you just said, the November pilot only going to be at underground stations and not buses, is correct about that? And then the second, what is this going to do for me? Is it going to just take me through the stations, or is it ready now, so you're going to be testing out that it would take me through, the station, but also an out, but also, will it take me to where a particular bus stop is? Will it tell me what the next bus is? You know, what will it do for me?
Yeah, I missed the first part of the question.
I understood from the last remark that somebody made, I don't know that she or David, that the initial pilot in November,
yes,
was going to be just underground stations, so the bus part of it isn't included in that.
Okay.
Or first, I thought you were saying both were included.
Okay. Yes. So the 10 stations that I mentioned for the pilot are going to be included, including the entire bus network. So the buses are absolutely included. I hope I was not unclear there, but the entire bus network is included. So to address your second question.
I'm sorry. This is Carol Lopez.
Paul. Yeah.
Please clarify that the first 10 stations are outdoor stations, not indoor.
Oh, right. No, that okay. That is true. The first 10 rail stations are outdoor stations. Yeah.
Oh.
That's good to know. I thought I was missing part of Silver Spring Station. I've been there a lot, and most of it's been above ground. So good.
Yep. Yep.
Glad about that.
So I'm real confused. Is it only going to take me, is it going to navigate me through the station and through the bus bays or whatever?
So this is a work in progress, right? So the 10 stations that we're doing now, as Carol points out, are not underground stations. They're above ground stations. And then we've got the bus network. But let me, I think probably the best way to answer your question is to sort of describe what distinguishes WayMap from other nav apps, because we all have used other nav apps. And there's a couple of things. First of all, WayMap works both outdoor and indoors, right? We're not indoors yet, but when we get the stations mapped indoors, we're going to guide you through the station. Let me expound on that a little bit. When we talk about mapping a station, we're mapping everything. We're mapping the ticket machine. We're mapping the water fountain. We're mapping the restroom. We're mapping the buttons on the elevator. So we're mapping everything. We map, obviously, the platform. If a user gets too close to the platform, caution, you're approaching the platform. Please back up. Please back up. So that's one distinction, right? Another distinction is that if you use a popular navigation app, and that navigation app is going to get you 20 to 25 feet within your destination, that's a success. That's a good day. WayMap gets you to within one step, 3 feet, approximately 3 feet of your destination, right? So we're not just getting you near your destination. We're getting you exactly where you want to be. And so let me then address the second part of the question that was posed. So yes, once you're at a station, now you want to transfer, provided it's a WMATA bus, not a regional service bus. We're going to get you to the shelter. We're going to get you on the right bus. We're going to get you on your way. So that is a fully integrated service that we're providing to get you from point A to point B. So I hope that's clear.
But it's not going to tell me the schedule, right?
The schedule? Yeah, I think you...
Schedule for the bus.
Yeah, no, I understand. So via the API, I think that... So that's a question that I'll take back. David, can you help? Do you know?
So when you're at the bus stop,
yep,
you will get the API for that stop. So you'll know what buses are there and what's coming next.
I'm sorry, what's API?
Oh, I'm sorry. That's a data feed from GTIS. We use another acronym, GTIS, from that Google Translate information that we use as our source of data for arrival times and departure times and things like that.
Okay. In the interest of time, this is Anu. In the interest of time, I would, because we are already at 6:04, I would ask members to go ahead and take your comments quickly so that, and if any follow-up questions, we can surely, email WayMap and get the responses. So that's Vanessa, go ahead and start your questions.
Okay. So that was part of my questions too. I noticed the subway stations that were selected were outdoor, but I did not hear, maybe I didn't hear it, but Morgan is a Blue Line and it's outside. So is New Carrollton, which is, I think, is orange, and Stadium Armory. Was there a specific reason for, were those not selected as pilot areas?
This is Carol Lopez. Vanessa, I'd like to answer that. Originally, we had some Blue Line stations. However, because we had a shutdown for the Blue Line, we couldn't make those stations part of this first launch.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then, okay, thank you, Carol. And then the other question is, because I have had consumers ask me about this, this will not be available to the general public to 2024, did you say?
No, the target is sort of mid-2023, Vanessa, thereabouts. Mid to late 2023.
So how are you going to publicize it to the public and what kind of training will you have for the public?
So at that point, I mean, we'll probably use, well, we'll work with WMATA, of course, to get the word out. We'll use all of our social media channels to get the word out. We will use the folks that have been very helpful in testing. We've certainly seen that that's a very viral network. By that time, we can't test all of the, we hope to have thousands and thousands of users. And so one-on-one testing simply doesn't scale like we're going to be doing in this initial pilot. So there'll be two things going on. One for sure is going to be, there's going to be lots of online training that's going to be available, that will be available up on our website and YouTube and various channels. And we're also, so that's an absolute. The thing we're considering is to have people sign up for training that would be live training that would take place once a week, once every other week, et cetera, where it would be interactive.
And my last question is, were you guys going to be working with the name of that other one, the cane with the GPS?
We will.
You know at least one other person that has that cane. And so far, I'm not sure how usable or how functional it is to them.
Yeah, so I'm very familiar with the WeWalk Smart Cane. And I think it's a wonderful, wonderful device and wonderful technology. I would just say this, both of our companies are headquartered in London. We're aware of one another. We're talking about some possible collaboration down the road, but certainly nothing that I could guarantee or make an announcement on right now.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Vanessa.
Thank you, Vanessa. Pat, go ahead, followed by Philip, Thomas, and Timothy.
Great, I'll make my question quick. One of the issues I had in the initial platform, and this is great technology, I'm very pleased about the soft launch, was I was having a problem with calibrating my steps. My steps were off by maybe 4 feet or something like that. Has that been recalibrated or enhanced or whatever over the last, I think it's been about a year or 6 months since we've looked at things?
Yes, absolutely. So I was out at a station testing today with one of our testers. And yes, that is constantly being recalibrated.
Okay, good.
And that testing data, if it's off by a step or even a step and a half, that gets sent back to our mapping team to be further refined. So the answer is an emphatic yes.
Great. Look forward to doing some testing at Silver Spring, which is right down the street from me. Thanks.
Great. And Pat, we, like I said, we need some red line help. So any of the folks that you know that would be interested in doing that. And by the way, we're asking people for help, but we're not asking them to volunteer. We are compensating testers $15 an hour. So just
wow.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll let people know. Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe I missed this, but how do we get, Anu, do we go through WMATA? How do we get testers to
actually
the right person?
Let me answer that. First of all, you have to go through through WMAP. We are not, WMATA is not paying anyone to do a test.
I was just actually not interested in the payment so much as I was interested in the process, but go
Pat,
through.
I understand that, but I wanted to clarify because that was not part of our discussions here.
Yeah.
Okay.
No. That's a WMAP thing. And people can contact me at paul.burden@waymapnav.com. I'm making the arrangements for all the testers that we're going to include in both the pilot and soft launch.
Beautiful. Last name, please.
Last name, Burden. B as in boy, U R D, David, E N, Nancy.
Cool. Thank you.
Thank you.
Excellent, Paul. Great. We'll be in touch.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks, Pat.
Thank you, Pat. Philip, go ahead.
So, would this be like a device or an app on the smartphone or how would this work?
Yes. It is it is absolutely an app on your smartphone. It is the WMAP app, right? And it is a navigation app, works on both platforms. But as I mentioned, some of the distinguishing factors earlier in terms of indoor, outdoor, level of detail, the accuracy, It is an app that was designed for visually impaired and blind people at the core of the development. So Apple Maps, Google Maps, et cetera, those apps are great, but they were made for the masses, right? And as I said, if they can get you within 25 feet of your location, sweet. That's not good enough. But anyway, I won't go on about that. Yes, it's an app that you download to your smartphone.
Yeah.
Thank you, Philip. Timothy, go ahead.
Hi, Timothy Howard. And I'd just like to say thank you for the work that you're doing. And it's really fascinating. I was curious as far as the UX, how the testing's being done on that, or am I late to the conversation? Please, you know, let me know.
No, that not late at all, Timothy. That's a good question. And that's a big part of why we're all about testing for this pilot, because the UX, so as I said, users will be accompanied. We're not going to turn anybody loose yet. We're going to be accompanying them at all times. And safety is certainly a concern, but also we want to watch people interact with the app.
Yeah.
So we understand whether this is a UX that people are sort of find intuitive and find that they can navigate and get around and problem solve, or whether they're running into issues. And then the second part of that obviously is, so we can send actionable data back to our developers. Are people running into issues in the same part of the app? So we know that. So the UX is critical in this testing phase.
Could I ask a favor? Could you put your email into the chat?
Yeah, sure.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Timothy. Vanessa, did you put your hand up again?
Alert. Audio now unmuted.
I did. Okay.
You have a quick question? Go ahead.
Regarding calibration, I just thought about it. I have a friend or two who have had a stroke. So how would they be able to use this system, walking slow kind of, or someone that maybe had some other type of walking issue? How would that calibration work for them?
Yeah, thanks, Vanessa. So the answer is yes. So their gait is just going to be slower, right? And that's okay. The app isn't concerned about how quick the gait is. The app's concerned about what the gait is, right? And I'll take a step further. So if somebody has, you know, sort of walks at what we would think of as a normal rate of speed, right? Once, if they get on the Metro platform at 7 a.m. In the middle of rush, they're going to be slowed down because they're going to be lots of folks that are trying to get from point A to point B. So the app is going to make an adjustment for that and understand that gait is going to be slower for a period of time. So the way in which we calibrate gait is actually dynamic. But to answer the question that you posed, somebody that is dealing, you know, a stroke victim or whatever, that's absolutely fine. We will just calibrate their gait at a slower rate of speed.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Vanessa. Doris, I think you have just put your hand up. If you have a very quick question, we can take that. Otherwise, we'll have to follow up because we are about 15 minutes behind schedule.
Yeah, sorry.
Yes. Could you explain how the app will interface with and work with hearing aids used by people who are deafblind? And, you know, will it interface with, right, directly into the hearing aid, or is there something else like a neck loop or headset you'll have to use?
No, Doris, I can answer that because I use it that way myself into my hearing aids, my Bluetooth hearing aids. So it's just as if I were wearing, you know, AirPods or something like that, or, you know, whatever. It works fine with those features, at least on the iPhone. Of course, I don't have an Android, so that's required by FCC anyway. So if it's not there, it would have to be a very old phone.
Will it work with okay. the T-coil?
With what?
With the T-coil and hearing aid without Bluetooth.
With the, I'm sorry.
The telecoil, yeah. Used for telephones.
Yes, it works fine. My hearing aid goes into telephone mode with the Apple update by itself when I hold a telephone up to my ear, which I don't because I talk through my hearing aids on my cell phone and I don't use a hard line. But when I've had to use a telephone, it's worked fine with them.
Okay.
Excuse me.
Thank you.
This is Ms. Grush.
Yes, Ms. Grush, go ahead.
We have gone past our time, and there might be a lot of more questions that you would like to ask. Can you send the email of where they could address their questions to Paul? Because we need to move on.
Yes. Madam Chair, this is Anu. Any remaining questions from the committee members can be emailed to me. I'll be more than happy to forward those to Paul and share the concerns, questions, comments. And once we receive any input, feedback, responses, we will share that with all of the committee members. And with the schedule, I'm sure you'll be receiving emails from me going forward about scheduling any appointments or however the pilot schedule comes out to be.
So I know we need to close. Let me just say one last thing, and I apologize. I've just put in the chat my name and email address. I apologize. I had a typo, so I just redid it. But paul.burden@wavenav.com. It's in the chat. But as Anu said, she can forward everything to me as well. So thank you, everyone. I appreciate being with you this evening.
Thank you for your information. And those have already tested, really, really are excited that it is moving forward. We really like the program, and I hope that some of the committee members sign up to be testers or tell their friends. And thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
All right, Madam Chair. The next is Jim Hamry. Jim, thank you for waiting. And Paul, thank you very much for a wonderful presentation.
You. Yeah.
Floor is yours.
Well, good evening, everybody. I wanted to accomplish a little business and a point of personal privilege, if I might. On the business side, I wanted to report that we have concluded successfully the Potomac Yard shutdown. That project that originally was 6 weeks and became 8 weeks. The trains started moving on Sunday morning, and so service has been restored to the Metro Rail station south of National Airport. We carried 687,000 riders on the shuttle network during that period and had 168 wheelchair accessible vehicle trips as part of the overall service program. The three routes that are associated with the Yellow Bridge closure are going to continue to operate until May. That's a shuttle out of Crystal City, one out of Pentagon, and one that serves South Fairfax and Old Town Alexandria. Those services will retain their peak period rush hour services and on weekdays. There is a project coming up this coming weekend, Veterans Day weekend, with the holiday on Friday. The shuttle will begin. It will extend from Fort Totten all the way to Glenmont. And we will have four shuttle routes supplemented with wheelchair accessible vehicles to provide travel for the about 13,000 riders on Friday, 10,000 on Saturday, and about 8,000 maybe on Sunday. That'll just be for the 3 days, and then Red Line will return to normal operations on Monday, 14th. So anyway, that's it's been a real positive experience in the south of National Closure, and lots of people have been involved in making that a success. The point of personal privilege is I just wanted to announce that I'm going to follow David Schaefer and I'm going to retire from WMATA. My last day will be November 18th. And just wanted a chance to thank the committee. I've always valued the insights of all of the participants over the years. I've learned a lot and been able to implement a number of projects with your help to serve the greater community, including, and you know, I begin to realize just how old I've grown. I started out with Dick Hattinger and Larry Pelkey with the old Disabled Advisory Committee, and was involved with the original, with the creation of Metro Access and the, in my case, Arlington Star, the local match to that. But over the years, we've had the chance to introduce low floor buses with wheelchair ramps instead of those cantankerous old lifts that we used to try and keep running. We implemented the bus stop information program and the digital display system, which now has over 620 signs out in the system. With your help, we did an accessible bus stop program where we built over 200 accessible bus stops around the region, renovated stations like Franconia Springfield, Colorado Avenue, Calvert, Chevy Chase, but also built new stations like Silver Spring Transit Center, Tacoma Langley Park, Oxon Hill Park and Ride, and renewed the College Park bus terminal in Rockville, and way back when we constructed the Pentagon Transit Center. So there's been a lot of really positive things. The whole CIP shuttle program was started up. When I leave, that'll be the 325th project that we've done. So it's really grown. The elevator shuttles, Chris John and Carol talked me into taking on that project, and it's something that we've been real proud to conduct, and we renewed the contract, so we will be doing it for another 5 years. And the WayMap exercise, that was fun to hear about their progress, and of course lots and lots of Metro bus services and public hearings and all of that good stuff. I want to just acknowledge some of the super advocates I've had the privilege to work with, Phil Posner and Tino Calabia, and of course, Pat Sheehan. And Doris Ray has been on my case for over 30 years. And Doris, I will miss you. And I do appreciate all of your contributions to our outcome for all those years. And to Carol and Christian and Anu, thanks a lot. It's been really great getting a chance to work with you, and I know that the good work will continue. So just thank you all. It's been a pleasure working with the AAC.
Thank you, Jim.
congratulations.
It's been a pleasure. Yes.
All the best.
Well, thank you all very much.
Great. And I see Pat Sheehan and Phil Posner have raised their hands up. So Pat, go ahead, followed by Dr. Posner.
Jim, I'm going to miss you. We go way back to the days of the hydraulic lift and Glenn Millis, yep, and trying to get those buses to work. And some of the lifts wouldn't work. Most of the lifts didn't work, and low floor buses. You've always been a friend to this committee. You've been able to give us over the years straight talk. We've argued about bus routes and Prince George's County and lots of things over the years. We've always worked well together. You become a partner to us, and we always knew that we could get the straight talk from you, and that allowed us to advocate on behalf of disabled people. So we have come a long way, and it is a tremendous tribute to the professionalism that you have brought to that office. So I just want to say thank you. I can't imagine, I would not want to be anybody following in your footsteps, because you have given us so much. And so thank you for your hard work, your professionalism, and you should be proud of the work that you've done. Great work.
Thank you, sir.
Dr. Posner, go ahead.
Ms. Jim, I used to sit next to Larry Pelkey when he used to come in without a beard and without white hair and tell me about how you set up the Arlington bus system. And it's been a wonderful time, because you always listened to us, particularly when Doris would tell you that the towers were too high and you could ring the bus signs. And you responded. You never got angry. You always thanked us for the input and then went out and fixed things. And I don't know who they're going to replace you, but hopefully you have someone good in mind, because I plan on continuing to ride the bus in various and sundry places. And I want to know that when I come in and mention the need, someone will listen. But you have a well-deserved vacation. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for everything that you have done for the entire community, not just the disability, not just the aging, but everyone. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Phil. I appreciate that. Yeah, I've put together a good team with bus planning, so the work will continue. A lot of smart young people with lots of energy. There'll be new things that we haven't even imagined.
Thank you, Dr. Posner. Doris, go ahead.
Well, hi, Jim. And I just wanted to say thank you for your service to Arlington. And as a member of the Disability Advisory Commission, I want to say I'm sure that if they know about this, they will want to thank you too. And then also want to say thank you to this, your service for the whole region. Are you going out of the area, or are you still going to be with us?
No, I'll be staying local. This is my home. So we'll take some time off and then figure out what I want to do when I grow up.
Well, good luck.
Thank you, Doris. Tino, go ahead.
Jim, I can't speak for as many years as both Pat and Phil have been around, maybe only a fourth of the time they have. But you've always been a pleasant guest and an earnest listener. And we're all grateful for the kind of service you've given us. Thanks a lot. And I ditto everything that Pat and Phil and Doris have said. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Tino. Carol, go ahead.
Well, Jim, we're going to miss you tremendously. I want to share a story about how I got to meet Jim Hamry. It had to, Jim brought talking signs to WMATA. There were these electronic signs at Silver Spring Station. Right. And I had just started working at WMATA. I didn't know too much about talking signs, except that they had to talk. And I did a lot of research about accessibility, and I had all these ideas about what had to happen. And so Jim gave me a ride to the contractors, and I wasn't sure whether Jim was upset at me or happy to take me, but he took me there. And he let me say whatever I had to say to the contractors, and he just supported what I had to say, even though I was making them stand on one foot and balance themselves with their arms out, etc. But anyway, it worked out really well. And because of his support, to this day, the only talking signs in WMATA still are bus signs. So we have the electronic bus shelter signs, and we have the e-paper signs. And I think he's been working on something WMATA keeps working on it. Now we're going to bring them into the rail stations, etc. So thank you, Jim. And as far as WayMap, he has been a great supporter on getting this Wayfind information. His program supported some funding, etc. In the past that helped us get to where we're going. So thank you.
Ward Bonds, Carol. Remember?
Excuse me?
Yeah, I was back in those days too. Yeah, I remember all that. Wow.
I remember that meeting at Redmond Associates. So do they.
Yep. Interesting character, Ward. Yep.
Thank you, Carol. All right. This is Anu. Well, I'll share one story quickly. When I started working with Metro, that was, gosh, so long ago now. As a young person, I was an eager beaver, trying to learn everything at the same minute, trying to fix everything that I thought was not working well. And I was in a different department at that point. I was in communications. Mm-hmm. The media relations director at that point told me, "We meet and talk a lot here, but one person you want to listen to is Jim Hamry." And he took me down the hallway, showed me what Jim Hamry looked like. And he said, "Look at that person. When he talks, you listen, because you will learn." And that has been so true all my years through here. I have learned so much from you, Jim, about bus planning and different aspects of it. So thank you. We will miss you. But congratulations.
Thank you very much. I remember all those customer response letters we had to write.
Oh, yes.
Try and explain why Metro does what it does.
Yes, and you had been so thorough in explaining things in a way that a layman could understand it so easily. Actually, if I could just take a quick more second, I found this. This is a huge list of accomplishments by Jim Hamry, and I would just share two or three. 80 scheduled picks developed, 70% of all Metro bus routes evaluated in service evaluation studies, 322 rail replacement shuttle services, 3 historical bus loop rehabilitations. I could go on, it's a huge list, but well, your accomplishments. Congratulations. We have somebody on the phone who just raised their hand. Please go ahead. Come off of mute and go ahead.
Anu, if I can interrupt, rather than accomplishments, I think more of what Jim has done is a legacy. He has left a legacy that will never be forgotten.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Good. Hello. Hi, can you hear me?
Steve, yes, go ahead.
Oh, great, great, great. Jim, I'm one of the new people who knows you because I don't go back 25 or 30 years. But I must say, you excel in the solving of problems. And you excel in explaining the ramifications with such clarity, as you've done so many times with the committee, that that at the end of the day, everyone knows what to expect. And I on more than several occasions, you've made changes. You've made just little substantive changes with respect to station construction, using buses to get around and what have you. And it takes a unique person to not just do the job but also problem solve. And you're the epitome of it. And the other thing I want to share is, very, very quickly, an experience the last time we had a public budget meeting, which was in March 2020. And I have the things I want to say. And I was watching you. And, Jim, and there were two rooms. And you didn't have to do this. You could have sat there and just waited to listen to the comments which were coming out by tape. But I was watching you, and you were moving from room to room to room to room. In fact, if anybody was following you, it would have been very difficult. And that's all about the hands-on approach that you've taken to the job, and me being primarily a bus user has very much appreciated it. And so thank you very much.
Good. Yeah, one thing our customers are good at is telling you what they want. And if you can find a way to figure out how to solve 20 different wants at one time, then that's a successful bus route. So thank you all very much. I'm glad that I made an impact, and really appreciate all of the work that you all put in providing that insight and helping guide the system to doing the right thing. So thank you.
Jim, this is Ms. Rush. I did not interact with you very closely, but I know all the things that you have accomplished. Good luck in enjoying your retirement or your next phase in your life. Just enjoy.
Thank you. I'm going to do my best. I've got grown children, and so now is my chance to go visit them.
Philippa, I see your hand up before you go. I just want to read this note from Robbie Ward in the chat. He writes, "Thank you, Jim, for all you have done to advance public transportation in the region." Okay, Philippa.
Well, Robbie was actually my very first contract when I moved to Northern Virginia. And we go back a long ways.
Yes, we do, Jim.
And I think you beat me out for that NVCC contract by like 5 cents per hour or something.
But a nickel an hour. I chased you to the public sector. I think you did quite well.
Philippa, go ahead.
Okay. Hi. You can hear me, I'm sure.
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to add thanks for all that you've done. And I ditto all the accolades for you. And I just wanted to add something that people have overlooked, how I've always admired your perfectly groomed beard and mustache.
Well, thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Took me years to develop it.
Ah, yes. Okay.
Okay. Well, thank you, Jim. And
all right. Obviously. Thank you all for the time. Have a good rest of the meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, this is Anu. Our next topic on the agenda is AAC elections.
Okay, well, I've never chaired the election procedure. You did send out who has been nominated for chair. Patrick Sheehan and Denise Rush, I think.
That is correct.
Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Well, Patrick, you have a speech? Hello?
Can you imagine? Can you imagine after all these years, I couldn't get myself off mute? So, ladies and gentlemen, it's a real honor to step back in as chair with such a great group as this. I think the committee is in very good hands. Phil has done a great job, as well as Denise, in leading the committee. And I'm happy to step in for 2 years. I think a couple of things I'd like to say is it's important for myself to help grow the next set of leaders on the committee. I've done this for a while, and Phil and others. And so it's important that the committee do a good job in making sure that we have good leaders to succeed those of us that probably are going to retire or should retire. This committee is extremely important. The work that it does is very valuable. What's critical is the relationship we have with people like Jim, people like Randy that we're getting to know. And so I want to help to establish that that relationship, make sure that we move forward. We're going to have an interesting year with respect to budgets, a 7,000 series car, and other challenges. And Phil tells me that, you know, maybe we can have a flat fare. We're getting very close to that. Those would be things that I think that we need to be working on. So I appreciate the committee. This is a good group and a very easy committee to work with. And I'm very pleased with our relationships with WMATA, with the staff. Mr. Blake has his August surprises and everything else. But I will commit to you to do my best to strive and help us complete our work plan as best as possible, and always to listen. For those that that we can tap maybe to take leadership positions, I think it's important for those to be able to step up and to lead. It's a good group, and everyone does lead to the best of their ability and brings different strengths to the office. So I appreciate your support, and I will give you my 100% effort. Thank you.
Thank you, Pat. This is Ms. Rush. Being the chairperson, I'm honored that I was nominated, but that's not my specialty. And I think Pat has done it for a while, and he would be a good person to lead us forward and help to train the new people to understand why we did what we did, learn the history and the players in the game. So I do not wish to be in that position. So thank you. So at this point, we only have Pat, and I guess we need to he's the only one nominated, and we need to vote.
May I ask a question as a member of the public? Because I'm very concerned about what I'm seeing going on here. So I am asking for the opportunity to speak on this matter, because I find this very, very deeply, deeply concerning.
I don't believe that's appropriate. We've never done that before.
Well, I think the process is corrupt if the public is not allowed to speak, because Pat Sheehan has been in charge and running this thing for a long time.
Mr. Torres, you're out of order. The disabled
community has been totally disadvantaged as a result of the leadership of this group. Mr. Torres,
can we mute Mr. Torres, please? Anu. Thank you. Okay.
Okay.
We need to get some transparency.
Denise.
Mr. Torres,
please mute Mr. Torres. Thank you.
You Denise, are not.
Yeah, this is committee business. And so I know, and we'll go forward. Thank you.
Okay.
Madam Chair, well, this is Anu. Next position is for first vice chair. And you are one of the nominees, and there was a nomination.
Okay. Well, I have been vice chair of the AAC committee for quite a while, and I'm honored that I'm being nominated again, and I do accept the nomination. I think everybody on the committee knows me well, knows that my strong points are, you know, watching Mr. Blake, watching the contractors, keeping up on all areas, the bus, the rail, metro access, as best I can, and trying to see that we move forward. I have
been watching the committee for 20 years, over 20 years, and did not get on the committee until after I had attended about 10 years of meetings. So I understand the history. I know where we started, and I know where we need to go. And I think that I can be an asset in that area. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is Anu. Our next nomination is for second vice chair. And we have three nominees, Steve Caffin, Paul Samuelford, and Kelly Simoner. So if we can have them in that order, Steve, followed by Paul, followed by Kelly.
Okay, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Oh, good, good. First, I'd like to say I am honored to have been selected by a number of people to be involved as the second vice chair. It's such a critical position because you know it's almost it's a rotating position based upon the presence and the availability of everybody, particularly you know the oversight that we have of the AAC. I have been particularly active over the years, as you all know, with buses, and you know I take that very seriously. I ride a lot of buses, and I make notes, and I write down bus numbers, and I send comments whether or not they get answered. And I write a lot of praise comments too, because I think we have to recognize that we're doing things a lot better, and the drivers have gone through the operators have gone through so much, and they're doing so much better than they have in the past. And so I try to be active. I was at the inauguration of the building. I was at the wayfaring presentation that was attended a while back. And so I would be honored to serve. However, I think I can better serve if there is the possibility of being involved with the subcommittee, because I think the bus rail subcommittee delves in much more detail in the areas that I have been, you know, interested in and focused on, and where I can make my best contribution. So I, once again, thank you so much to those who nominated me and for the nomination, but I think I can better serve in another capacity. So thank you very much.
Okay, this is Anu. Paul Samuelford.
Good evening, everyone. This is Paul Samuelford, current Metro Access Subcommittee Chair. And like Steve Caffin, I am thrilled and thank you for those who nominated myself. But at this time, I feel I am better served in the other capacity is, you know, remaining in the subcommittee chairmanship for Metro Access, where I'm a staunch advocate for customers and, you know, challenging management every now and then on issues ongoing issues with the service that do need to be improved and can be better for every customer that rides Metro Access. And I feel much more better and equipped in that role than what I'm being nominated for right now, giving some of the needed qualifications for that positions, such as being able to attend various meetings, which I know honestly I'm not able to do at this point. So I'd rather it go to somebody else who has the ability to do that. And I already see that we have other, you know, capable candidates to my left and my right for this position. So I'm going to defer it to them. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Kelly Simoner.
Okay, good evening, everyone. This is Kelly Simoner, and I appreciate the nomination this evening for the second chair. I am interested in it. I can't say I would have nominated myself, but for whoever did, thank you. I became involved with the AAC kind of in a windy way. I had had an experience with Uber where I was just, I'm a person with a disability. I use a wheelchair since we haven't seen each other in also many years in person. And I was denied an Uber ride. And, you know, that just made me mad. And I'm like, you know, transportation should be better for people with disabilities. And what can I do to have a better understanding in the environment I live? And so I started attending different meetings and I saw Mr. Blake speak at one. I was like, you know, this, you know, there, it kind of rolled into that progression. And so then becoming on the AAC, joining the AAC, I got to really delve in a focused way about public transportation in our area. And not only on behalf of myself as a person with a mobility disability, but as a person who has three kids and is traveling not with just with me, but what are the barriers my family may face? One of the things I can say that I guess I've been able to notice and be able to make change about is I noticed that pre-COVID there was a parking lot and gets very busy and there, but there's a way that you could pay money to have reserved parking. However, WMATA had no accessible parking spots. And I don't believe they had any in any of those reserved parking spaces. I brought it up to AAC, brought it up to Ms. Lopez and other members of WMATA and said, look, you know, just because we have a disability doesn't mean we have a job and don't want the ability to have access to reserves parking spots so that we can go knowing that I'm going to have a spot, I can get on to work and get on with my day. And so what they were able to, you know, look at that issue and hopefully are continuing to make changes in that respect. And so, you know, those are the types of things that allow me to continue on to serve on this board because I know how important transportation is, especially for people with disabilities. It's our lifeline. It's our map to independence. It's our ability to live our life with ourselves, with our family. And so thank you for the nomination.
Thank you, Kelly. This is Anu. Dr. Posner, I believe you have your hand up. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Two comments. One, I would like to make a motion to accept the candidates with unanimous consent because they are all very good. But I'd like to make a comment about Steve and Paul. One says he's great at Metro Access. One says he's great at buses. But we are all together as a group. And we all use mostly transit systems. And you don't have to use the system to know what's going on with the system. Kelly is great. She uses rail and automobiles. And Denise uses mainly Metro Access, but she has enlightened herself to what's going on with the bus and the rail when it comes to intercar barriers, when it comes on to getting onto the bus. I predominantly used to use bus and rail, but used to take a ride on Metro Access once a month just to find out what was going on. So I make a motion for unanimous consent for Patrick as chair, Denise as first vice chair, and Kelly as second vice chair. But in the term of Patrick's wish is to develop more leadership from the people on the committee. Learn about all of the modes of transportation. And when there are hearings, show up. Speak for people that use other parts of the system that you may not use. So that's my 2 minutes. Thank you.
I second that motion. This is awesome.
Thank you, Dr. Posner.
I had my hand raised.
Okay, Doris, before you, Tino has his hand up. Tino, go ahead.
This is a matter of privilege and procedure.
Jesus Christ.
Okay, Tino, go ahead.
Yes, as someone who nominated the people that have been named thus far, I am in full support of acclamation for their election. But I also want to point out that something that Kelly did not mention, She is not only a trained attorney, she is an attorney who advocates for people with disabilities. So she knows the law, she knows cases, and I think that provides a platform for future leadership, as Phil has mentioned, that we need. So I would strongly support her as one of the three officers. And I certainly have supported, and I nominated both Denise and Pat. Thank you.
Thank you, Tina. Doris, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. One, I will say that I think I would be glad to support the motion for those three people, although I actually do wish that our lineup would be Maryland, D.C., and Virginia in those positions. But it's fine. It's Montgomery County, P.G. County, and
North Virginia.
And I'm very happy to see a Fairfax County resident. But what I want to say as a matter of procedure and privilege is that I think the comment that was made by the public is an important consideration, because I came into this meeting and this topic on the meeting unsure about what the procedure was, and I have not heard any call for other nominations. There may not be any, but I think we should have been tighter on the procedure here, and that it be more visible for the public itself as well. So that's what I want to say. Thank you.
Doris, on the nomination.
And I don't know whether you can discuss that matter of procedure prior to taking this vote or what.
As far as the nominations are concerned, for last several weeks, all the members have been receiving emails, follow-up emails,
There should have been an open procedure and call for other nominations. I mean, I don't know. I haven't looked at the bylaws for some time, but we probably should have gone by that procedure.
Well,
although it's an emergency. I understand it's an emergency.
No, they have to be on the committee to be nominated. That's number one. So if the public is not pleased, they need to get on the committee so they can be nominated.
But I also think that we did call for nominations from the committee members over the last couple of weeks. So if you're asking for nominations from the floor, it would be the same process that we just covered over the last couple of weeks.
I'm saying is, as a matter of policy and privilege, that I think that what needed to happen was that a procedure be outlined. Most of the boards and commissions that I attend on a regular basis have a procedure the month before there's a formal nominations committee, whatever, slate, and then a call for nominations, and vote isn't held until the next meeting. Again, I realized that the chair had to step down, precipitously, so it's an emergency or whatever you want to call it, but I'm concerned that going forward, we really get a tighter, more formal kind of way of this. And we have actually in the past, with the votes being private. But that I recognize the urgency here. So I would support this way. And I definitely support my colleague from Virginia being up to the, and you, Mr. in as well.
Okay, very good. Thank you. I think is there a motion on the floor in a second?
Yeah, I already seconded it.
Okay. I guess, Madam Chair, you can call the question.
Can we proceed to vote for the three persons that have been nominated for the chair, first vice chair, and second vice chair? Can we vote on that now?
Yes.
Can I hear the votes, please?
Aye.
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 Alert. Audio now unmuted.
Aye.
Aye. Would the committee be more pleased if everyone sends in their agreement, or are you agreeing on the vote now?
Agreeing now. This is Philippa.
Do we want to call for any negative votes?
Yes.
Or abstentions, yeah.
Do we have any negative votes? Any comments? We've heard the comments, but any additional comments?
Just thank you guys for being willing to serve. This is Philippa.
All right, it's been voted. First, second, and approved. So, Patrick Sheehan is now the chair of the committee. Denise Rush is the first vice chair, and Kelly Simoneau is the second vice chair for the AAC committee. Now, we do have subcommittees, and we don't have those positions all full. So are we going to vote on the subcommittee? Or it's the chair. Patrick, are you going to?
This is Anu, Madam Chair. Mr. Posner just raised his hand.
Yes, just to answer the question, it is the prerogative of the chair to appoint the chairs of the subcommittees. And so Patrick, if you would defer to Denise, the two of you should get together and appoint who you would like to chair the bus rail and Metro Access. And I have a funny feeling you're going to agree.
Yes, I think we will. And I think as chair-elect, we will get together in the next little bit. We will keep the meetings, of course, this month will be with Tino, of course, and Paul. And then we will see if we have any volunteers for those positions. But I have a sneaking suspicion we've done some good work in the past, and we will continue to do that good work. But we will meet, come up with recommendations, and if folks are interested in serving in those capacities, we'll take nominations and thoughts from folks who would like to serve in as chair for bus rail and chair for Metro Access. So, and we'll meet to discuss. Thank you, Phil.
Okay. Thank you. This is Anu, Madam Chair. First of all, congratulations to all three elected officials of the Accessibility Advisory Committee. I'm sure you will do a wonderful job as usual going forward also. Madam Chair, our next topic of discussion is the Metro Access service from the opening of Silver Line Phase 2.
And we will hear from Mr. Blake, or?
I would hope so.
We're eager to hear from him.
Mr. Blake?
He's unmuted. It's just I don't hear him speaking.
Is he eager to speak with us?
Well, he's having a big problem with his phone, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, because I see Blake? His hand. He's waving his hand. Well, we can see you, but we can't hear you.
Isn't that the way Denise likes it?
Okay. No, well, my other, well, they've been having a problem with that phone about two weeks, really. But can he hear us?
Madam Chair, this is, and I believe there is some technical difficulty. Mr. Blake is able to hear us, but for some reason, when he's speaking, even when he's off of mute, we are not able to hear him. So while we fix that glitch, we do have a member of the public who wants to make comments. So we can go ahead and do that. Give him his 3 minutes, and then we can come back to Mr. Blake, if that's okay with you.
Yes, and okay. Make sure that they listen to the 3 minute.
Sure.
Keep it with the 3 minutes. Limit, please.
Sure, I would have the timer on. Yes. Mr. Torres?
Yes, hi.
Okay. Go ahead.
This is Ansel Torres, and I would like to raise an objection to the procedure conducted here. It was not transparent, and I believe this evening a stench of corruption now hangs over this committee. Pat Sheehan has been chair and running this organization or this committee, or sub-chair or vice-chair, whatever he has been for so many years. And he was there at the helm when fares for disabled people were increased 180%. And in the minutes that I have reviewed, he did absolutely nothing about it. And I've heard from other people who sat on the committee with him that he was more dealing with the, you know, hobnobbing it with the folks at Metro instead of looking after the interest and the best interest of the disabled community. So I totally object to his appointment. And the vice chair said that something about me wanting to be nominated. I am not interested in being nominated this committee, and this evening is giving me even more reason why I would not want to ever be on this committee. So let's make that very clear. On another topic, the budget period is coming up here, and my understanding is that money that has been allocated for Metro Access, if I understood Mr. Blake's explanation correctly, the money is just simply put into the Metro General Fund. And so basically allocated funds for Metro Access, if it's being put into the general budget, basically what's happening, Metro Access funds are unlimited. They have no caps on it. So if Metro is asking for a dollar, but yet they're only using $60 or 60 cents to provide service for disabled people, and the 40% simply goes into the general fund, that's another example of corruption. If that's exactly what is happening, and that was the explanation I got at the last meeting, then we really do have a problem, and that needs to be investigated. We definitely, because we cannot say to transport disabled people is $150 a trip on what is budgeted, but when in the actual is $60 a trip.
30 seconds.
So that makes clear that there's a problem there that needs to be investigated. Or clearer explained. We need to get a much clearer explanation. Transparency and clarity and making things clear has always been the downfall of this committee and Metro. So basically, you folks are becoming a part of the problem instead of a part of a real solution. Thank you very much.
Mr. Torres, this is Ms. Rush. I did not say that you wanted to be on the committee. I said if you did not, the public, if they have concerns or feel that the committee is not run properly, they need
to apply to be on the committee and try to make the changes that they think need to be made. So if you are part of the public that has a problem with the committee, you need to apply, and then maybe you can make some changes. Thank you.
Okay. I will not be part of any corrupt organization of this sort. I'm sorry. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. This is Anu. Mr. Blake. Can you hear me? Yes, we can hear you. Okay.
Yes. Oh, great. Good evening. Sorry about that. I'm not sure what happened there. And first, I was saying congratulations to the new officers. And I appreciate Dr. Posner's recommendation. But I just want you all to know that Anu and I were prepared to verify all ballots and count as many days as it took to verify that the election, if one was going to take place. But they saved us a lot of time, Anu, so we can move forward. Before I get to the point, I mean, I like to respond to the public as always. And I could just tell you, we wrote a memo to the board that I believe is public explaining exactly what Mr. Torres feels is concerning. The fact of the matter is that we have a new business model, as you all know, and Mr. Torres is one of the primary participants. I won't call customers beneficiaries, but he's one of the primary customers of our new business model. But again, paratransit is a safety net. We must budget to a certain level of service because every day there are people in this region who have disabilities, whose disabilities prevent them from using bus or rail for at least one of their trips. And we need to have a service that is prepared to serve them. Prior to me coming around, you had Metro Access, and it was complemented by taxi services, but they were all, again, just part of Metro Access. We are creating a new and hopefully better safety net for all the customers, and that is giving you as many options as possible. We always start with fixed route, and we have the paratransit safety net at the other end, and in between that, we have abilities ride. Well, when we budget when we set our budget, we take that into consideration. But the fact of the matter is we're budgeting so that there is no such thing as capacity constraints. And if we're successful, if we have a budget that starts off at one level and we're successful in this new pilot, essentially, that we're in, at lowering the cost throughout the course of the year while giving every customer every trip they want, then that's a good thing. If you find that to be corruption, okay, I mean, that's fine. I call it doing my job. And that's why I run this as a business. And my job is to run it as a business. And my job is also listen to customers with good quality and sincere concerns and complaints and make adjustments. And Paul Semelford has helped us in that regard. Mr. Torres, who just spoke, has helped us in that regard. Frankly, all the customers. And that's what happens when you start calling names, you leave some people out. But the fact of the matter is, under my leadership, running paratransit, we're going to set accurate budgets, but every year, every day, every morning, we're also trying to not only provide a safe quality service, but we're also trying to find ways to save taxpayer money, because I come from the point of view that I'm not a social worker, I'm a business person. I've told you this before, I'm a business person, and I have a fiduciary responsibility to the taxpayers of this region to put on not only a safe and quality service, but a cost-effective one as well. Over time, that variance that Mr. Torres is talking about, though, should shrink. The amount of wiggle room we have to generate savings, because we will be able to plan the fact that more and more customers like using these alternatives, so we can have fewer hours, if you will, on the dedicated. But we're not there yet, because this is only like the second full year in which we're trying out these services, and we're still learning customer experience, customer satisfaction, availability, and a whole lot of things. But I just have to say, if you believe that saving money is corrupt, that's fair. I'm not going to try to change your mind, but I'm telling you, every day I come to work, safety, quality, cost effectiveness. They're all in line. One is safety, two is quality, three is saving money, and that's what we're going to continue to do.
May I have a point of clarification here, Mr. Boyk? I did not say saving money is corrupt. What I'm saying is, if you budget with uncapped money and you're saying the variance goes into the general funds of Metro if it is not used, and that is capped at 3%, definitely that there is some, it is suspicious to me when that happens, because essentially what you're doing, you're using the disabled people to funnel uncapped money into the Metro general fund. That is what I believe to be corrupt. And then on top of that, telling disabled people you cannot give them free rides. Well, if you have money to give it back to Metro in the general fund, you can definitely pay for free rides for disabled people. That's the point I'm trying to make. Please don't muddy up my point.
Well, all I can tell you, Mr. Torres, and I hear your point, but it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, because I just last year gave away 250,000 free trips to people with disabilities. And over the last 3 years, it's been over 500,000. And pretty soon we're going to get to the million mark of free trips on paratransit. And on top of that, when you look at just the dedicated service, those trips that are on vehicles with the big letter M on the side, when I took over, the average per trip cost was like $4.75, almost $5. We're down to $4.34, I believe, now, and it's going to continue to go down. So what free trips you're looking for, I'm not sure, but I think we've done a good job on that. But let's save that debate for another night, because I just want to get real quick, because we have more public comment. On the Silver Line Phase 2, the general manager, well, I think you all may have heard the announcements on the news and other venues. The Silver Line Phase 2 is opening on November 15th. That's next Tuesday. And if you called in today, you would have heard, or later today, I don't know how long it's been up all day today, but if you want to book a trip to or from 3/4 of a mile within one of the 6 Loudoun County stations, you can begin booking your trips. You could have booked some today, but you definitely could book your trips tomorrow and beyond for Loudoun County. So,
correction, it's next 3.
Tuesday,
3 out of the 6.
Excuse me?
3 out of the 6, because the other 3 are in Fairfax. So it'll be the last 3 stations there in Loudoun County.
Thank you. Okay. Yeah. Thanks for the clarification. Yes, sir. For the Silver Line Phase 2, the new station, yes, you can begin booking trips tomorrow. And next Tuesday, hold on 1 second, Doris. Next Tuesday, the service is going to begin running the fixed route. Silver Line Phase 2 is going to begin revenue service about 2 p.m., but we will be running service that whole day, because it's just easier just to make it a day and not try to break it in different hours. So beginning Tuesday, there will be full service for Metro Access to and from the Silver Line Phase 2 stations. So if there are any questions, I can take some. If not, we can.
Have a question. So, Mr. Blake, so what I'm hearing clearly now is that any Metro Access customers starting today can book for a trip for the 15th or after 3/4 of a mile to any of those 3, because the first 3 stations are within Fairfax County addresses. The last 3, which I'm emphasizing, are in Loudoun. They can book a trip to either of those 3 stations with a reservationist on the phone or online.
Yes. Okay. Let's put it this way. I know you're going to test it out for us and correct me if that's wrong, but the directive was yes. Customer calls today before 4:30 or calls tomorrow after 8 a.m., they should be able to book a trip to the Silver Line Phase 2 stations. Yes.
And I'll book it and I'll test it online and let you know.
I appreciate it.
All right, that's my question. That's all I have to ask. Anyone else?
All right.
Okay, we have 3 hands up. Doris Ray, Phil Posner, and Philip Weintraub. Doris, in the interest of time, let's take 1 minute, please.
What?
My turn?
Yes.
Okay. A couple of things. One is, it is my understanding that there are only two Loudoun County stations. Herndon is not in Loudoun County. It's in Fairfax. Second, what I wondered was, what are we telling Loudoun County residents who are registered with Metro Access about where they need to come in order to get a Metro Access vehicle to Loudoun Gateway or to the Dulles Airport Station? In other words, what I'm saying is, are we putting out any outreach to Loudoun County residents who are registered with Metro Access to tell them now you can come to? And then I wanted to ask, is there going to be a Metro Access stop at those two stations so that somebody coming on the rail who lives in within 3/4 mile in Loudoun County can take Metro Access to either that or some stop where they can get off Metro Access and on to Loudoun Paratransit?
Okay. So there is not at this point that we plan any special outreach to Loudoun County residents.
Who are registered with Metro Access, not the full county. There are plenty.
No, I got you. And I'm with you. I'm with you. But yeah, no, there hasn't been any. Again, the service is available, and the customers will tell us their pickup and drop off addresses. And as long as they're in the service area, we're going to provide the service. Now, keep in mind, for Loudoun County residents, while Metro Access is certainly an option for them, Loudoun County actually wants to provide the paratransit for its own residents. So there's going to be so Loudoun County really is doing a lot of the outreach to inform and educate its customers of the paratransit option for them. And Loudoun County is providing its own paratransit so as not to necessarily be part of the Metro Access network. But we will never deny a customer who chooses Metro Access over the Loudoun County service. But there is no, I'm trying to be good with my words here, there is no special accommodation or outreach or changes for Loudoun County residents. It will provide service to any customer who's Metro Access eligible within 3/4 mile of the 6 new stations, including the 3 in Loudoun County.
We have approximately minutes left.
Doris, excuse me.
Loudoun County.
In the interest of time, I would request for you to send any follow-up questions through email, because we have 5 minutes left and we have 4 more hands up. And I believe, Madam, we may have to.
I need to go to another meeting at 7, so I guess I'll go to that. Thank you.
Thank you. Dr. Pulisra, go ahead.
Yes, quick question. What would the fare be from Silver Spring to Dulles Airport during the week, and what would the fare be from Silver Spring to Dulles Airport on Saturday or Sunday?
Okay, not having it right in front of me, but during the week, let's say peak period early in the morning, Silver Spring to Dulles Airport should be $6.50. That's just my estimation based on the distance from Silver Spring out to the airport. Silver Spring to Dulles Airport on Saturdays should be $2. Should be $4. Let me clear that up. Twice the flat fare. That would be $4. And Silver Spring to Dulles Airport after 9:30 should be $4. in Silver Spring to Dulles on Abilities Ride is free of charge, just in case, you know, some customers forgot that.
Thank you, Mr. Blake.
Rail, it would be free of charge also.
Say that again. Oh, yeah, okay, making a joke. Never mind.
Thank you.
I got you. Yes, thank sir.
Thank
you,
Dr. quickly.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I forgot all about that. Yeah, you ride bus and rail, it's free of charge. Yes, sir.
Philip Weintraub, go ahead and take a minute.
Hi. I was also wondering, like, I think it's just a little confusing. Like, you first say, like from tire on the 15th for a tire day, and then there's like not starting till 2 p.m. What do you know? What's going on?
Well, the 2 p.m. is because that day there's going to be an opening ceremony on that day. And after the ceremony, they want to have the station cleared out and all the bells and whistles moved out of the way so that when the customers like yourself and others get in there for revenue service, it's back to just a regular Metro public transit train station. So that's why actual revenue service is starting at 2 p.m. that day on the rail.
Yeah.
Thank you, Philip, and thank you, Mr. Blake. Tina, go ahead.
Yeah, there's less than 3 minutes to go, and so we're not going to be able to get to the subcommittee reports. But I wanted to emphasize from that report that we heard from the Better Bus negotiating project that there is a survey, and as all of us are leaders in our communities, we are really should be the first to make sure that the survey is completed. The deadline is next Friday. If you haven't completed the survey, please do. That's an obligation. There's no way to check on whether you do it or not, but feel obligated for yourselves and in your role as people dealing with the aged and people with disabilities. Please fill out the survey regarding how to improve the bus. Thank you.
Thank you, Tina. Thomas, go ahead.
Yes. I want to know, I found out about this new cab service that I didn't know about that do not even serve my region, Ward 2. DC something. I forgot the name of it. Do somebody know what I'm talking about? It must be free.
A new cab service that's free in DC. I haven't heard of that, but I will check. I thought I was the only one giving away free service, but maybe there's something else out there, but I have to find out for you. I'm not sure.
Right.
I heard about it today, but I do not know the details.
Okay. Okay. Will somebody find out, could I be contacted, please? Thank you.
Will do.
Hello.
Mr. Blake, why are you still here since we got one last minute, since I didn't give a report? The only emphasis I have is there will be a revised agenda that will be coming out to manage Metro Access Management and, of course, the AAC. And that's pretty much I have. And this these October surprise you gave, I'm presuming that the agenda item is to talk about that more, because I do have feedback, Mr. Blake.
Well, we're looking forward to your feedback. We're looking forward to Mr. Torres' feedback. He's another pilot member, and I think Ms. Bush may be one of them. I can't remember all the names, but yes, we want to hear, and as you know, I like unvarnished feedback, so this isn't a cheerleading session. We need to hear the good and the bad, if there was any bad.
Oh, so you're going to get some.
I hear you. Well, but we're gonna listen to you, and we'll take your feedback and go back to the developers and let's see what we can do.
I've been collecting a lot of good data based on those texts, but that's it. I will say for now.
Can I get a motion to close the meeting?
Adjourn?
because it needs to be adjourned because our time is up. We have many more things to talk about, but thanks everybody for participating. Can I get a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Okay.
All right.
Meeting adjourned.
Thank you, Denise.
Thanks, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Congratulations, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Congratulations.
Bye.